It is a Monday, and due to technical difficulties beyond our control, we are unable to go into Genesis the way we normally do on a Monday, Tuesday. So instead, we'll just turn around, grab Pastor Chris into studio, and spend some time talking to him one-on-one. Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. By the way, if you ever have a question for Pastor Chris or a prayer request, praise report, take out your phone, use the Voice Memo app, record your question, your name and where you're calling from, and then take that audio and email it to us. questions@agradio.org. And we'll see if we can't get Pastor Chris to answer it for you. Well, let's take a look at a topic that just doesn't go away, the Christian and politics. Once again, here's Pastor Chris and myself with today's broadcast. You know, it's always a delight when we can get you in studio to spend a little time looking at some of the current issues that surround us and how we respond to them as believers in Christ.
Thanks, Andy. I really enjoy this. This has been a blast, I have to say, and it's good to be in studio and hopefully help people with questions that they have. I know we have something set up that you're working on right now for people to write in, call in, and ask questions, and we'll address them right on the air, right?
Exactly. In fact, all you have to do is go to your smartphone, open up the Voice Memo app, and then what you do is you voice or record your question for Pastor Chris. Don't forget to include your name and where you're calling from, and then simply email that. You've got the option there to take that audio that you've just created and emailing it to questions@agradio.org, and we'll get it before Pastor Chris. If we use you on the air, we'll even let you know when we're airing the question.
That's great. I'm glad to do it, glad to take the time to do it. So I hope people will make use of that, and we'll do our best.
And we'll have some of those questions here in the next couple of weeks, no doubt. But today, Chris, what I would like to do is spend some time talking about a subject that we actually dealt with a few weeks back. But because it seems to resurface so often with so many unique facets to it, it's good to review it again, especially in light of this previous week and all that's gone on inside the Beltway. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Now we know where we're headed, right? Politics and the Christian, brother. How do we deal with politics as a Christian?
That's a big question and a lot to think about and a lot for Christians to wrestle through in our day. Isn't it interesting that in the last few years that everyone seems to be an expert on politics and everyone seems to know all the intelligence and have all the answers and everyone weighs in and everyone's an expert. It's really stunning how many experts we have today. I was I remember my dad used to say as a longtime basketball coach, he used to tell me, you know, everyone's a coach. Well, today everyone's a politician, it seems, and everyone has answers. And I think this is one of the things that we have to wrestle with. One of the things that I don't see Christians exercising very well in our day is simply balance.
Right.
Balance in everything. Balance is important in the Christian life, and we tend to fall into ditches and extremes all the time. You've described kind of two extremes. One is exactly, you know, what Peter described and the apostles described when they said, listen, a soldier of Jesus Christ does not get too caught up in the affairs of this life. In other words, there's a recognition that this earth, this world is passing away, that there is a judgment coming, and that whatever political interests we have, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come in judgment at some point. And there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness shall dwell. So the Christian looks at this life in a particular way. We are pilgrims. We are traveling somewhere. We're moving forward
exactly
to the city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So if we're absorbed in all the affairs of this life, then it seems to me that we're living for something that we are not intended to live for. And that's an important thing we as Christians have to wrestle through in this day. Is this consuming us? Have we forgot our mission? Do we remember why Jesus left us here? All these questions have to be answered lest we get swallowed up in all the divisions and the sad politics of this world that is passing away. Now, that's one point to make. I'm sure you have something to say here, Andy, but then there's sort of the monk mentality that, you know, runs away from everything, and that's not right either. We'll talk about that, I'm sure.
Yeah, no doubt. There, again, like you said, there's got to be a balance, and you've just laid out one side of that balance. Indeed, we belong to another country. We belong to another world. But at the same time, like you said, God has left us in this one. So, yeah, do we live like monks? Obviously not. So then how do we live? How do we balance the scales on some of this? And I guess that's the big question. Where do we find the balance? How do we go about setting up that balance?
First, I think we have to recognize that what's happened in the political world, what's happened where there are simply categories now of red and blue, and everyone is sort of lined up against each other, and everyone is hating one another and fighting with one another. The first thing the Christian needs to realize is that divide that has happened in this world is something that the devil has very much created, loves, fuels, fosters, whatever you want to say. This is something that belongs to the darkness of this realm, that kind of behavior and that kind of hatred. What I fear is that, first off, Christians forget that the people on the opposite side of the political spectrum and the stances that they have take are people made in God's image and people who need the gospel. So the question is are we behaving like the world in the way that we're treating our neighbor? I see us fall into this all the time. So if we're going to talk about, first off, caring about the world and what is our purpose here and these sort of things and you know, how do we handle all these problems that are happening in society, first off, Christians need to think really carefully about the primary calling here, first to love God and then to love their neighbor.
And their enemies as themselves.
Yeah, well, and that's absolutely right. I mean, we're called even to love our enemies as Christians. And this is something I think Christians are not demonstrating well as the world systems are crumbling in front of us. I mean, Jesus told us this would happen. There'd be wars and rumors of wars. There'd be all kinds of problems in the political world. And Christians are falling into the divide and forgetting their very purpose here. So that's my first big concern. How do we look at, you know, the president we don't like? How do we look at the politician on the other end of the spectrum that offends us? How do we look at the people where the world rips and tears each other apart? This is a dog-eat-dog world. The Christian is called to an entirely different approach in these things. And I've made this case in how we are to think about where we live and why we live where we do. Seems to me that, you know, especially living in California, everyone's sort of running out of California right now. Why? Well, I think those are things we have to think about. Are you running from your neighbor because you don't like the things that are happening? What is the reasoning? There's always legitimate reasons to move. Don't get me wrong. But if it's just that we can get with everyone who's just like us, we're forgetting again why Jesus left us in this world.
Yeah, we're supposed to be salt and light, aren't we? And
right.
So if we're the only salt and light that is living in California and we leave, what does that say about our serious view of God's call and commission on our lives?
Exactly. I mean, you know, God told Jonah, you know, go to Nineveh. And the first thing he says is, no way, I'm not going to that. It's like, go to California, Jonah. You know, now, obviously, that's a prophet. But the point is it's the same spirit. Jonah wanted nothing to do with it. Jonah wanted nothing to do with those wicked Ninevites because look at the terrible things they did.
Yeah.
Look at the awful I mean, you think California's bad. Nineveh was worse. And God cared very much that Jonah would demonstrate the mission responsibility that he had given to call them to repentance and faith. So these are important things to think about. So that's one thing. Now second, Christians are also called to care and be stewards and also called to care about justice and what is right and what is true. And this is the second thing I think that we have to think a lot of, not only our mission and purpose, but also prayer. I think people are yelling today at everyone. And are we as Christians doing what the scriptures call us to do, to pray for our leaders, to care for our leaders, to honor our leaders, to be respectable before them? And to promote what is good and what is right. This is something we want to see because this reflects the very character of God. His law demonstrates his holiness, his attributes, his goodness, all these things. So we want to see these things displayed in the earth. And of course, we're new creatures. That's something we should desire to see. So we hate injustice. We hate those things that are wrong. We hate those things that oppress people. Of course we do. And that's something Christians need to think a lot about. How best are we promoting the common good? Because all of these things can be used as a witness for the gospel.
And this brings up another question then, and I think we can move towards this direction, at least foundationally, as we try to work through these issues. As Christians, we're called to stand for Christ. Do we separate that and parse out what areas of our lives that we can do that with? Or is that a call in toto, number one? And then number two, how does that look politically? Because especially if you look at the way our political system is set up, it is we the people. In essence, we're the ones called to be involved in all of this. So, you know, like we've already said, we can't just stick our heads in the sand, but we've got to do something more than just kind of stand on the sidelines and vote every 4 years, don't we?
Yeah, I think that's fair. One of the things that's difficult for pastors today in these discussions, and I have dear friends in the ministry who don't want to get into any of these discussions for the reason, and this is a good reason, that we become marginalized and polarized and put into a camp, and an entire, you know, another segment of the population can't even hear us now. So do I want to be pegged, you know, as the system has done a certain Republican right wing? Do I want to be pegged as a liberal Democrat? I don't want to be pegged that way because I have a greater concern, right, to see people saved.
Yeah.
and this is what happens is then we get thrown into a camp. And when we discuss these issues, it's hard even to say where we stand on issues because this is exactly what happens. And then people can't hear us. Look at all of the talking past today. I don't want that to happen in Christianity. I don't want that to happen, you know, in the ministry, because I want people to be able to hear the message that is able to save them, you know, from destruction. But I understand your point. Christians still have to care about what is good and what is right. And I think we have to do that very wisely. As a Christian, as a believer, I have I can do many things in my community, in my life, before my neighbor, to promote what is good and what is right. You are absolutely right to observe that it is foolish and wrong to just sit on our hands. God gives us all a vocation, doesn't he?
Yeah.
God gives us all opportunities in our vocations to be salt and light. Some people are called in particular ways to make a difference in the culture as they serve in government positions. You could even be a teacher and do this. But my point is your particular vocation that God has given you allows for certain opportunities for you to exercise your convictions in a wise and discerning way and be a witness before your neighbor, but in such a way that promotes what is true and what is right. So you're absolutely right. There are things in the political world that are against God's law. There are things in the political world that undermine what is true, what is right, what is just, what is moral, and Christians have an obligation to stand for those things, and we have to do it.
And not only an obligation from God's perspective, but we've pretty much self-imposed that obligation in our Declaration of Independence. Again, as I mentioned earlier, our government is unique in that it is we the people, by the people, and for the people. So we have to be involved. We have self-imposed involvement, politically speaking. First and foremost, obviously, easily, it is simply going to the ballot box and making sure you not only vote, but vote wisely, using scripture as a grid to understand what it is you're voting for. But at the same time, and you kind of leaned on this a little bit, and I'd love for you to expose a bit more, when it comes to standing apart of, you know, at least for our system, either Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, there's got to be a way that we as Christians can impact this realm of our life. I think of the Apostle Paul. Man, he wanted to go to Rome for the express purpose of sharing the gospel. And his political bent was somewhat vague in Scripture.
Yeah, we don't know
it. But didn't exclude him from being politically right. involved. Yeah, it didn't exclude him, though, from having an impact.
I think that's a really fair point, Andy, and something to think about. You know, we are still afforded many freedoms in our land, and we have an obligation to use those freedoms for God's glory and the advancement in loving our neighbor. You know, but there are other nations of this world that don't have those freedoms. I think of China and a faithful minister right now. And, you know, he understands something. He's been persecuted. He's been jailed for 9 years for simply doing what I do here.
Exactly.
He's doing nothing different. And that government has come down upon him and jailed him for his faith. Blessed is that man. I mean, seriously, yeah, you know, but I guess what I want to say is he understands the role of government and when it extends beyond what it should be doing. Now it's become a persecutor of the church. And that's, you talk to somebody in China who's being persecuted for their faith. They want some kind of separation between the church and the state. They understand that for this very reason. Listen to the letters, of this man who's been jailed, and we can post that on Abounding Grace, how he understands and what he's had to deal with now facing actual persecution, and how he realizes the state has overstepped its bounds. But I think, you know, that said, what your point is looking at the Apostle Paul, you're right to say we don't know his political opinions on things. We know he, of course, would have done what is morally good and right and according with the Scriptures, but his greater aim was to see the salvation, you know, of even secular leaders. So perfect example is Agrippa and Bernice. You know, he goes before this wicked king and who is in a long line of Herods that has persecuted all of God's people, his grandfather and father, persecutors of God's people throughout history. This guy had married Bernice at 12 and who had already been divorced, she had, at 12. This was oppression. This was a mess. This was sin. Think of John the Baptist, who got his head put on a platter for speaking against unlawful marriage, right?
Yeah.
So, but Paul's greatest concern was that they would repent and receive forgiveness of sins. And that, I think, you know, this is why he wanted to go to Rome. This is why he wanted to stand before Nero. You know, the greater goal was why Jesus left us here. You know, when he said, I pray that you don't take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one, he's speaking clearly to our mission as Christians. And Christians have to think a lot about this instead of getting so caught up in the political divides that we rip each other apart. Now I want to say one other thing, though, Andy, is that, you know, we have to exercise our freedoms and use them, but we should not be under the delusion that, you know, these freedoms, you know, cannot be easily taken away. They can. Throughout history, there's always been persecution. There's always been governments that have gone corrupt. There's always been bad leaders. There's always been antichrist figures. And Christians live in the midst of that. And we have to always obey what the Word of God says. And that's really important at these times. When the apostles were beaten for their faith and told to be quiet, They rejoiced that they were counted worthy for the sufferings of Christ and then went out and preached all the more. And that kind of boldness with what we do in our witness as the church, you know, and as individuals in society is important to remember who we are. I do think, you know, there's somewhat of a difference, Andy, you know, between me as an individual Christian, as a member and as a citizen of this nation, exercising, you know, my rights and influencing the culture and what is good and what is just and what is true. You know, I have to do that as an individual. I think we need to remember clearly, as the Christians in China are saying to us, you know, the objective work of the church in the mission calling that has been given to it, and that we are not ultimately going to save the culture. The culture's under judgment. And that needs to be remembered. So the church has to remember its distinct role and responsibility. Sometimes churches get so caught up in the political affairs of this world, they forget what the mission is. And that's super dangerous.
It really is. I mean, we don't want to shy away from being active to hold back unrighteousness in our culture. But at the same time, we don't want to make that the end goal, do we? We have to be sensitive and wise enough to say, look, first and foremost, first line is going out, making disciples, right? Seeing that the gospel is spread across the world. When we usurp that with thinking we're standing for righteousness against unrighteousness and making that the primary goal, man, it's very subtle, but it can be dangerous, can't it?
Well, yeah, you know, crusades happen for this reason. And
right?
I think, you know, we have to remember here, you know, all authority structures are put in place by God. Romans 13 is unequivocally clear about this.
Right.
Whatever leader is there is put in place by God. We're so used to trashing our leaders today. It is a great offense and sin against the Lord who has chosen leaders and works through sinful leaders. We have to remember this. This is an important thing that Romans 13 is saying to us. We hold our primary authority, obviously, is the Word of God. That's what has to guide us in the way we speak and how we act and what we do. But we also need to remember that the Lord is working out his purposes in history, even through barbarians. So Christians need to remember, though, who the ultimate authority is, and that there is one true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that also should help us to not demonstrate a lot of fear before the world. One of the things that I think's happened that is really tragic among Christians is there's so much panic, so much fear, so much, people distraught over what's happening in the culture when the Lord told us this is how it would be.
Yeah.
The true reality is that we all want the American dream, and we all want what was a rare thing in history to have a nation that was formed on these kind of principles with this kind of freedom to continue forever. And the reality is no kingdom of this world will stand forever. They all crumble. They all fall before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of his kingdom.
Well, there is obviously much more we can say about all of this, and we'll probably do so. We've just kind of scratched the surface a bit. But suffice it to say, there are some roles and responsibilities as Christians that we have to man up to, if you will, when it comes to the political scene, how government is ran. Chris, I think of Daniel. I think of what Peter says. While it may seem vague on the surface, the Bible does have a lot to say about how we get involved in the life God has gifted us with, isn't there?
Well, absolutely. And, that's why I'm hopefully on a bed of grace being clear and calling for balance and wisdom and love for neighbor and remembering our primary reason God left us here. And then also the responsibility that we have as Christians to care for what is true, what is right, what is just, and to exercise that with wisdom in society. You know, sometimes everyone wants the Bible just to be a handbook. The Bible's not just a handbook. The Bible is a document given to the church, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to give us wisdom and principles to know how to act in these times. And that's what we need today, wise, discerning, prayerful Christians to know how best to act in our days that are, you know, there's many things happening that are really sad. And this world is crumbling and the structures of it. And that should all the more make us long for a kingdom that cannot be shaken of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, right? Now, you've been listening to Pastor Chris Gordon here today on Abounding Grace. If you wish to write to us or give us a call, you can reach out to us a couple of ways. First, as always, our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. You know, we have a lot of friends who have come alongside of us financially and prayerfully, committing to partnering with us that this program continues on this radio station. It's our prayer that you would join that growing list of friends and Abounding Grace Radio family members who are concerned about this broadcast, are encouraged by it, and committed to seeing that it continues on this radio station. If you are, please contact us today. No gift is too small, no gift is too large. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly gift, it all makes a huge difference as we continue ministering the gospel here on this radio station. Reach us at 888-504-8805 or agradio.org. And again, thank you for taking a few moments to join us today here on Abounding Grace Radio. We'll see you back here tomorrow for our Tuesday edition of Abounding Grace. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.